Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Now, you know, that you see us, you hear us praising, and you'll hear sometimes hear me stirring and kind of trying to kick you in the pants to get to praising. The truth of the matter is praise is how we get through all the things that we're going to go through. Praise is the answer. So if you're going through a trial and you've done all that you know how to do, the step that you have to take next is to praise. So if you don't learn how to praise when you're full of cookies and you're full of prime rib and you're full of other things that shrimp cocktails and all those other things and lots of carbs that we had over Christmas, glory to God, we can't let those things keep us down from receiving all God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Welcome to Family Church Mayville. God has got a good plan for you. He's got exciting things, glory to God, are coming up. Praise the Lord. And how do I know that? Well, because Jesus himself told me. No, that's not really what happened. But, well, you did, actually. We have a whole Bible full of promises. Glory to God. But we also know that God takes us from glory to glory. He takes us into greater things. And so we know that God has a good plan for us, and that plan is to bless us. But we have to connect with that plan. Amen? Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Is anybody happy about that? Amen. We're going to move on to a new year. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2020 has been a trying year for most of us, if not all of us. Glory to God. But, you know, trying years don't necessarily, they're not necessarily a bad thing. God still hasn't fallen off the throne yet. Glory to God for it. But this, you know, yesterday as I was, you know, I was getting before the Lord and I was just seeking out some things. And as I was saying, I felt the inspiration to start writing. And often when I get that, I will write a faith fix, you know, or I'll answer a faith fix. And I thought that maybe this was going to be a faith fix or something like that. And then I realized that it was more than just that. And as I was writing it out, as my heart was kind of, as these things were coming out of my heart, what I realized is that the Lord was giving me some direction for the coming year. He was giving me some kind of a theme for the year. Now, I know a lot of ministers do this. I've done it in the past, but I didn't, my heart wasn't set out to do this. So we do have some of them printed. What's that? Mark has them, all of them, or whatever he's got. We've had some printer issues, so we're gonna, if we could get those out here and get them passed out really quickly, one per family if we have to start there, and we'll get the rest. Yeah, Josh, if you want to go help Mark, and Bob, if you want to, whatever, just we'll get them passed out really quickly here. But I decided to print these off for you, and these are just kind of, you know, it's nothing fancy. It's just a little, it's just a sheet of paper with what I'm about to read. But it was, I felt it was really important to get them to everybody and get this. And so before we get into the message, and this really goes along with the message, although again, I didn't plan it to be that way. I'm going to read this to you, and I would hope that you would take it to heart, some of these things that these things that the Lord has spoke to me. So I know they're passing them out. So if you can, just pay attention to reading if you haven't got one yet, what I'm reading. And if you want one and you didn't get one, we'll make sure that you get one later. Amen. Praise the Lord. The year of transformation. That's what I heard in my spirit. Amen. The more that I spend time with God's word and the more his spirit speaks to me, the more I see how life is about balance. So often when pondering any given situation, I am always brought back to this idea. As Christians are who are told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, I think it can be easy to get one-sided about life. Most of us will be in one ditch or the other. If we can recognize this, we have hope to be helped. It's in the inability to see our need for balance where we can get into trouble. This trouble has farther-reaching effects than we realize. Pastor Michael Laketic said something to me recently that I believe can be apply to many areas and was in itself quite profound. He said, prayer is not a substitute for faith, and faith is not a substitute for prayer. In other words, each has their place. As a pastor, I see this happen often. People try to overcompensate for failure in one area with the strength of another. The problem with this is God gave us each thing for its intended purpose, just like he placed each one of us in the body of Christ for an intended purpose. A hand makes a terrible foot, a terrible eye. I think you get the point. just because a hand can maneuver with greater ease than a foot. Have you ever tried walking on your hands? My point is, just because something is not your forte does not mean it is not needed in the body, or that you should reject it. I often see this with ministers who argue about the functions of the body. Pastors will claim evangelists should do such and such, and evangelists will claim that a pastor should be more like them. The truth is, neither really has the right to be directing the other. The hand has no place to tell the foot how to do its job best, because the hand just doesn't know. The reverse of that would be true as well. But the truth is, we do need both of them. The knowing our place part can seem difficult for many. In fact, I dare say one of the greatest struggles for a Christian is in finding their place and then sticking to it. That, however, is just a lie from the devil. God didn't make it hard to know him or to follow him. The key is to be willing. I want to highlight that point. Many people will claim that they are willing without actually being such. How do you know if you're willing? There's a scripture that I'm about to share that will answer this, but I want to preface it with the knowledge of how it works. When you read this scripture, you have to be willing to agree to its terms, but there's a catch. This agreement doesn't happen just when everything is good, but when it's difficult to put into practice what the word says, or what this word says. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Your ability to do the scripture will determine your ability to flourish as your part in his body. The will of God talked about here is his will and direction for your life. You cannot find this will with the natural mind you came in to the faith with. What's the natural mind? Well, simply, if you always thought this way, were taught to think this way, or the world commonly thinks this way, then this way is not a transformed mind. It is the conformed mind. I find often that older gentlemen have the hardest time with this concept. It's the my way or the highway attitude in our society that causes this issue. Faith follows God, not man, even if the man that's being followed is yourself. Oftentimes in Scripture, we are given different points of view on various subjects. Some people think that these are contradictions, but if you look at them with a little knowledge, you can easily find the truth and the balance. The problem we find is when somebody embraces only one side of a scripture without balance and begin to make it doctrine. This is how cults are usually formed. This is how denominational ideas begin. Oh, and by the way, even those who claim to be non-denominational are a denomination of some sort, they just might not have named it yet. When referring to the fig tree that Jesus cursed and the disciples' amazement about it, Mark 11:22 tells us, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." What do we know? What we know about Jesus is this. Number one, he was the embodiment of faithfulness and full of faithfulness. Or full of faithness. That's what I would say. Yeah. Second, he didn't do his will, but the Father's. And third, he followed the Holy Spirit religiously. When he said to have faith in God, he was talking about knowing and trusting God's direction and his way of doing things. This is why he could walk on water, raise the dead, open blind eyes, and cast out demons. This is why he could accomplish what he did in such a short time. This is why he and his disciples never lacked and were never lost. They were completely effective in all God had them to do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when you think about that. Remember, we are talking about conforming and transforming here. Conforming is to comply with standards or customs of another. Transforming is to be completely changed into something new. If you conform, you comply with the standards of the world and are therefore subject to those things. Losses, sickness, inabilities, weaknesses are all your lot and your future. The help for your life is at the sole whim of another or many others. Wrong person in office, you will contend with that. Wrong boss or fellow employees, they determine your work environment or your paycheck. Bad DNA, hopefully you get the right medicines or don't get sick. Born into poverty? Well, there's always the lottery. Or be transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The theme for at least the onset of this year is transformation. This past year has been marked by the control and whims of various things. And I am saying that it does not need to be that way for the church of God. Last year, 2020, I'm just going to interject this in there, was a wake-up call for the church, a wake-up call for Christians to be transformed. Don't fall into the whims and the wiles of the devil, the whims of the earth, amen? It is time that we set out to embrace his truth, his path, and the direction of his spirit. Let's let God be in his church what he desires to be. Let's be balanced and open to his direction, and we will continue to pour out on his people. Hebrews 8:8-12, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. And this applies to you all today. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Glory to God. Now, I want to tell you that these scriptures, though they are for our people this time, these scriptures have still not come to pass because not everybody knows the Lord. A lot of people, you know, they say, a lot of people in our circles will even say, the Lord told me this or the Lord told me that, but you can know quite rapidly sometimes that the Lord wouldn't have said those things. And so these are people that don't know the Lord, but the Lord desires that we all know him. And if there's a desire for God for us to know him, then there must be a way for us to know him. But we have to be willing. You remember the idea of what I was saying there? We have to be willing to lay down us. We have to be willing to lay down our way of thinking and embrace the thinking of God. Amen? And until you make that decision in your heart that no matter what I'm going on with God, no matter how it challenges me, no matter how hard it is on my flesh, no matter what it does to my mind, until you make that decision, you can't know him. You can't hear him. You can hear him in a, God will still get things to you, but nothing like you need to. This is not a hard way of living. Actually, if we find this is the easiest way of living. If there's anything that I've learned is that going through life, just like stabbing in the dark, it's just not effective. Amen. Bouncing from one thing to the next and moving all over the place. That's not what God has for us. That's not what God has for his people. And so it first comes with a decision in your heart. You know what? I'm just going out with God. I'm not, what God has been dealing with me most about is not having opinions about things that don't concern me. And that's a very difficult thing because I'm a person who's very opinionated. And I know that some of you are very opinionated. But God, if God is dealing with me, he's dealing with you as well. Amen. And so, well, praise the Lord. Why don't we get into today's message? And honestly, I wrote these two things separately, and this message goes right along with it. But I'm thankful for the Lord to have given it to me. Glory to God. This is one of those, I woke up in the morning and the message was on my heart and just in 5 minutes it was written. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, literally that's how, but the understanding, we believe the Lord will bring more out of it. Amen. So today's message is called Cut to the Heart. And we're going to start over there in Acts 7:51. So those scriptures, the reason we wanted to print that out is because I knew I'd read it and you wouldn't get it all at one swoop. It is good, and it will do you good to go back and look over that again many times throughout the year. Just have a desire to know more of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And to fulfill his plan more. It's so funny because it was talked in there about willingness, and a lot of people think that they're willing, but you're not willing until you're tested. You know, you can't find your willingness until that will is tested. And you're not going to be tested in an area that's going to be easy. You'll always be tested in areas that test your flesh, that make it hard or difficult for you to seem to go forward. But the truth of the matter is we know this, is that our promise is we can always move forward. We can always move into that. But we have to be willing, amen? And that willingness, you know, that's where we see it. And actually, that test is almost always, if people are going to leave, or they're going to disconnect from you, that's almost always the place where they disconnect from you as a pastor is in the test. They disconnect at the place where it's hardest, and that's the place where God says to be willing. And so if you've gone through that, and I'm sure if you've been, listen, if you haven't gone through a period where you felt like you needed to, that you wanted to leave the church or just leave in general, leave the faith or whatever, then you're not faithful. Because I'm just going to tell you right now, the faithful are the ones that are tempted to leave. And so if you have been tempted to leave, don't feel bad. Don't feel like, you know, that you're somehow wrong. But you have to recognize it for what it is, amen? Because the devil wants to get you off the plan of God. And God's plan has connected you with a body of believers who can go forward in the faith and obtain great and wonderful things, amen? And that's what God intends for all of us, to be fruit bearers. But that fruit only comes after a season of sowing, a season of reaping, a season of labor, a season of trial, amen? A season of hot sun and a season of torrential downpours and all these things. You understand why we have these references. So Acts 7, 51. Glory to God. This was Stephen speaking here just before he got martyred. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Now, the reason I brought this out, I mean, this is a pretty harsh accusation, and it was true, and it's true today in a lot of things. The reason I bring this out, though, is not to call y'all stiff-necked or, really call anybody stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. But it is the reason that the Holy Spirit had me bring this scripture up and start on this basis is to understand this is what we need to stay away from. Yeah. See, because there's a temptation in the human flesh to always be stiff-necked, which is to be stubborn, and to be uncircumcised. Now, we know that all the laws of God, all the things, you know, God was the one who instituted circumcision. And if you know what circumcision is, it's if you don't know what it is, well, then ask your parents, or you can ask us after. Praise the Lord. If your parents are here, ask them. Circumcision is it's a cutting. But it was also symbolic of something. Now, there's other reasons for it. But the reason that God gave us the law, the reason that he gave the Jews the law and commanded them to do certain things was to be a sign and a remembrance of the things that he does or the way he thinks. And so we need to keep those things in mind as we are the church, you know, that there's things that God does or that some of the things that he's commanded is so that we recall him and we think about him and think about the way he does things. Why would he do this? Well, he wants us to operate in that because he knows when we operate within his parameters, we are going to operate the best that we possibly can. Now, when I say the parameters of God, this isn't just God setting up parameters and saying, here, I just want you to be in here because I'm a dictator-like ruler. We know God is a loving God. We know God is a father. And a father doesn't rule with a heavy-handed fist. A father rules with love. Amen? What we understand is that God set parameters because he knew the parameters which we would live that would set up the best life possible for us. It would bring the most amount of people to salvation, to knowing him. Amen? That's why God set up parameters. When we look at sin, all sin does, when if you're in the world and you hear sin, you think people are just trying to steal your fun. But if you look in the Bible and understand what sin is, what you start realizing is sin destroys the flesh. It's not because God's destroying it, it's because that's what sin does. Sin, although it being fun, destroys the flesh. Amen? Glory to God. Now, I used to smoke cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for quite a long time. In fact, right about now is when I quit, what, 17 years ago or 15 years ago? Yeah, wow. So right about now is when I quit, 15 today. 15 years ago today, glory to God. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Now, if you smoke, this isn't a, you know, you're going to hell because you smoke kind of thing or anything like that. That's not saying that at all. I don't believe that smoking will take you to hell, although we do believe it could get you to heaven quicker. Amen. We know that smoking, anybody knows that smoking isn't good for you. Amen. But when I smoked, I didn't smoke just because I was addicted. I smoked because I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did it. Now, smoking is a would be a sin. It would be a what you consider a lesser sin. You know, it's not as bad as fornication or adultery or something like that. But it would be a sin against the flesh. And there's different kinds of sins, not getting into that today. But it is a sin in the flesh, and it's a sin against your own body. And but what it does is it causes destruction in your body. Even though I enjoyed it, even though it was something I wanted to do in my flesh, I knew that it was something that was also killing me. And that knowledge does not escape us today. You know, back in the 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe they thought smoking was healthy for you, but we can't deny it any longer. We know that there's enough evidence that it is bad for you and that it does bad things. Amen. And so understanding that, that's what flesh, that's an example. The flesh wants to do something, but the thing that the flesh wanted to do was destroying the flesh. And so God said that. And so he said, these are the parameters I'm going to put on your life to keep you from destroying your flesh, because I want you to live a long and healthy life. That's God's desire for every human. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the problem is that when people are stubborn or stiff-necked, or when they're uncircumcised, again, that means not cut, you know, he said, of the heart and the ears. You know, Jesus said to take heed what you hear. He said to take heed how you hear. And we understand that the ear is a pathway to the heart. That's where faith can be grown, is through that pathway of hearing. And so as you hear the word of God, as you hear whatever, these things are building some sort of faith in you. And so Stephen was saying, he was talking to religious leaders of the time who were about to stone him. Yeah. And they were rejecting the very word of God that he was preaching, because they were saying, that wasn't our tradition. That isn't what we know. That isn't what we want to hear. And so we're going to reject that, even though it was the word of God. And this is the point that so many Christians come to, is that they hear the word of God, they hear the things preached, they hear that there's transformation in the word of God, and they get excited about that. They hear that there's hope in the word of God, and they get excited about that. There is hope. There is transformation. But folks, we can't get to that hope. We can't get to that transformation if we're not cut to the heart. If we don't allow ourselves to be changed, transformed into something new. What Christ died for was not to keep us the same and just save us, but was to completely transform us into this being that God could use, and that God could be part of, and that he could fill and give that God life to. And isn't that what we want? Man, I'm telling you right now, I remember my life miserable when I was, you know, when I'd wake up in various places that were filthy. I said, I've hugged toilets that I wouldn't even use today. I've had my arms wrapped around toilets that I wouldn't even sit on today with clothes on. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. I wasn't happy in those times. I was miserable. I wasn't happy when I was out there. You know, maybe when you got your drunk on, and you got your high on, and you're out there, and you know, you're just floating around. Maybe for a minute you're giggly and happy, but there's always a reckoning day, and you know it as well as I do. The hangover is the reckoning. And it always is the thing that, you know, it's always in those times that people think wrong, but they think, you know, that it's in those times where people think, man, what am I doing? What kind of life am I living? It's in those times when you've just gotten sobered up that you regret what you did the night before. Yeah. Has anyone been there? Yeah. Amen. Cut to the heart. We need to be cut to the heart. We need to be circumcised in the heart and the ears. And that's what circumcision is. It's a cut, and it's a removal of something. It's a removal of the thing that isn't good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that will hinder the plan of God in your life like resistance to his direction. Nothing. You know, we come up with different things. We do things so we can have church. And there's a lot of natural things that you got to do to have church. I'm just telling you the truth. Man, you got to have a building. You got to have a parking lot. You got to have it plowed. And if you don't have it plowed, somebody will get mad. If you don't have a parking lot, somebody will get mad. If you don't have the right building, somebody will get mad. You see what it's like having church. You know, we do everything you can. If you're not socially distant, people get mad. If you're wearing masks, people get mad. Some people get mad because you're wearing masks. Back and forth, you don't understand? But see, all that stuff is uncircumcision of the heart. What does any of that matter to you? And see, this is what we have to be. We have to be people. And I'm not just saying that because we have different mandates and stuff like that. You know, we just do what we do around here is we do whatever we can do to have church and have it without trouble. Like, listen, there is a point where you stand up against the government or whoever and you say, I'm not moving anymore. But I'm just going to tell you something. It's stupid for somebody to just go there every time immediately. Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says to live in peace with all men at all times as much as it's up to you. So what does that mean? It means as much as it's up to me, as much as it's up to you, we got to live in peace. And so if we have to comply but to live in peace, but we can still do that and live in peace, then that's what we do. Why? Because that's God's way, not my way. It's not your way, but it's God's way. God's way is peace. Why? Because that is what God, that's what God can grow. That's a heart that's been circumcised. See, the human heart is uncircumcised. The natural mind, it's uncircumcised. The way that you were when you came in, if you hold on to that, if you hold on to, I'm just going to be that, you know what I mean? Like, listen, you know, Jeff is still Jeff, glory to God, but I'm a cleaner Jeff. I'm a fixed up Jeff, amen? I can't think the way I thought before because the way I thought before was wrong. And it broke me. It broke others, amen? Praise the Lord. But so there's nothing that will hinder the plan of God in your life like the resistance to his direction. And so as we go into this year, we have to, when God says, that, when God's, when the Spirit was speaking to me and saying that this is a year of transformation, this isn't like, listen, this is exciting. This is something we can get excited about. But what it's a call to action. It's a call for you to say, you know what, this is a year for me to be transformed. Those things that held me back before, this year I'm stepping out of them. This year I'm pressing harder towards the goal. And you know, the thing about, you know, when we look at life day to day, it doesn't seem like much changes, amen? You know, I look at myself in the mirror every single day and I don't see me getting fat. Glory to God. And just the same, if you've known this, if you've ever gone on a diet or worked out to lose weight, you don't see you getting skinny either, do you? But when you watch over a process of time, if somebody hasn't seen you in a month and they look at you and say, wow, what's happened? If they haven't seen you in a week sometimes, wow, look at you, you've lost a lot of weight or you gained a lot of weight or whatever it is, you know. We don't see it day to day as we look at it. So we have to remember that our life is about transformation over time. That if it doesn't feel different today, that's okay because today is fleeting. Today is almost over. Amen? Glory to God. I was thinking of something else, but maybe somebody will pick up on that. One of my boys possibly, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Today is fleeting, and it's almost over. But God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us, and over time, the transformation will happen. Amen? Turn with me to Romans 2:25. This is what we have to remember, and this is maybe one of the hardest things for Christians to understand. God's transformation is not something that God sprinkles some magic dust on you, and all of a sudden you're transformed. God's transformation is a choice within each Christian to be transformed. Now, when you are a baby Christian, when you first come in, some things will be easier to transform because there's more grace on you because you don't know anything. And God doesn't expect a baby. It's just like we have we had a baby announcing his presence a few minutes ago, right? Praise the Lord. We love babies in the church. Now, do we get mad at the baby? No, we don't get mad at the baby. We don't kick him out or any of those things. But what do we understand about that? If it was an adult that was doing, now if his dad was doing that, well, we'd be in trouble because his dad's bigger than I am. But we could maybe find somebody else to drag him out. Like, you know, if it's an adult, we don't accept those things. Amen. You know, unless there was an issue or something, but we understand that we're judged according to what we know. We're judged according, and we operate. God's grace works in us according to what we know. But Christians who are Christians year after year after year after year and never have transformation, that's not God's fault. That's their fault. That's their failure. And sometimes it's not their failure, but it's the failure of the teaching that's put before them. But don't just go blaming the teaching because I wasn't taught this or taught that, because you also have the right to follow the Holy Spirit. In fact, as I read there in Hebrews at the beginning, when I, at the end of the letter, when I read there in Hebrews, that it is up to us. It is up to us to, we should know God. We should, each one of us, every person in this church should be able to hear from God and know how to do their part in the local church without even being directed to do so. Now, there is a direction in the leadership. You know, one of the things I wanted to address is something I said in there, in that letter. You know, in the local church, the pastor is the head of the local church in human form. Obviously, Jesus is the head of all things, but the pastor is the head. So an evangelist coming into a local church does have to submit to a pastor in that place. A prophet coming into the local church does have to submit to the pastor in that place. That's just the way that it works. That's God's authority structure. But when they're doing their job, when they're fulfilling their call, when you're fulfilling your call, you don't need to submit to anybody but the Holy Spirit. Amen? When those, you understand. So Romans 2:25, amen. We're going to read through 29. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So what he's talking to here, in case you don't understand, if you're not familiar with the law and how it works, what Paul is addressing here is people who were, they were what they called of the law. So they had the Jewish law. If you go back in the Old Testament, you can find the law that was given to the Jews, and circumcision was part of that. God commanded that every male child be circumcised on the eighth day. And so circumcision was part of the process. It was something they had to do. Other people weren't doing circumcision. That was just the Jews back then. Amen. It wasn't a common practice for everybody else. And I could go into some things about that really interesting, but I'm not going to here today. But the point is that here he's addressing that basically what the idea of what he's saying here is that if you're following the specific law, but you're a breaker of the law, then the things that you've done to follow the law are, they don't matter. You've undone it, in other words. And what he's trying to point to is that circumcision was more than just an act of doing something. See, for them, they were physically doing something to obey the law, but their hearts weren't transformed to follow the true law of God. Is this making sense? Amen? And so their hearts weren't transformed to follow the true law of God, which was the things like love and stuff like that. They just did the natural things because they were easy. They just showed up to church. You know what I mean? They just they just did this or they just did that. They just did these things. They just gave. You know, do you realize that you can even tithe from the wrong heart? You know, this was just on my spirit, in my spirit to say, but like you can tithe because you want to be, because you're going to be obedient. And that's all you're doing is just being obedient. What do I have to do to be obedient? Okay, I have to do this, so I'm going to tithe. And then that's going to, do you realize that's from the wrong heart? The heart should be to bring it before God, excited that you can that you can bring something more to his kingdom. And then that's where the offering kicks in on top of that. And that's why it's not a hard thing for somebody who understands it. But see, somebody who just does it out of obedience, what they're doing is they're making their circumcision uncircumcision. They're not following the law at all. They're not pleasing to God. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with prayer. If you just pray because the Bible tells you to, well, guess what? It's not blessing God. If you just come to church because the Bible tells you to, it's not blessing God. You're doing nobody good, any good. Praise the Lord. We should have a heart for the things of God. We need to be transformed and circumcised. We need to be changed into something new. Amen? Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is of the flesh. It is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. God never cared about sacrifices. Sacrifices never meant anything to him. They didn't change his heart on things. They didn't make him feel better about things. Sacrifices were for men. The law was not given because God wanted to give a law. The law was given because man was a transgressor and he needed to know what that was. God gave us the law so we could understand why the law. When the Bible tells us the don'ts or the do's, it doesn't tell us that because God wants to hurt us. It's because he wants to bless us. It's because he wants to do things in our life. When he says, don't do this because this is the result, it wasn't because, oh, this just makes me mad. Listen, if you're a parent and you have rules in your house, now every parent here, they have rules in their house. But if your rules are just because you want rules, because you want control, guess what that is? That's dictatorship. Yeah. That's sinful. That's not God. It's not godly for a man to rule his household with an iron fist and say, it's my way or the highway. You do what I say because I'm the father, even if that's his right. In fact, we understand the heart of the father is to lay down his right. Yeah. It's to lay down. That's exactly what God did when he sent Jesus to the earth. He laid down what he was entitled to. Yeah. And he looked at the others and said, it's more important for my heart is for them. And a father will do the same thing. I haven't made all the right decisions. But I can tell you this, that almost every decision that I've ever made for my family has been from a heart to serve them better, to make our household better. I didn't always come out with it right. I didn't always lay out the direction right. Praise the Lord. None of us will. And that's why we have things like, you know, forgiveness and stuff like that as well. But it's the heart that God cares about. He doesn't give a rip about how much you put in the offering plate. He cares about your heart as you're putting that thing in. You know, the most precious, do you think that your dollars, if you take a dollar out, what's the biggest bill we have anymore really is a $100 bill, right? There's nothing that, they used to have bigger dollar bills. But do you know this, that the government was talking about printing a $1 trillion coin? Is that what it was? $1 trillion coin? It was an actual coin that's worth $1 trillion. Yeah, they were talking about doing that. How it would actually be valued, I don't know. But that's what they were trying to do, right? So they were trying to, if you had $1 trillion coin that the government printed, you had it. So it's legal tender, right? In the United States, can use it. And you drop that in the offering bucket. If you got one, you drop it in the offering bucket, do it. You know, it's a good thing, amen? We'll pay off the churches. We'll take care of things. But if you got $1 trillion coin. But if you have $1 trillion coin and you dropped it in the offering bucket, do you know it wouldn't matter to God at all? If your heart wasn't in it, if your heart was just to be like, hey, look what I'm dropping in is $1 trillion coin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You put a $100 bill in the offering bucket, God doesn't care about that. It doesn't matter to him because he's not after, it's not the monetary value that he's after. It's the heart that's attached to it. That's why we have the story of the woman with two mites. She came and gave all that she had, but it was nothing. But she didn't just give it. See, this is the part we forget. She didn't just say, hey, I'm going to give everything I have because everybody will see them giving everything I had. She came before the Lord in humility and put this money in and said, I am so blessed because of what God has done for me that I'm giving all that I have back to him. That's the heart behind what she was doing. And that's what God loved. That's why she's forever written in scripture from one act that she has done, not because of the amount. And see, we get tripped up by amounts and we get tripped up by times and things and all these other things. And it's like, you know, we get tripped up by, and honestly, I fall in this too. We get tripped up by who's in office or who's not in office. We get tripped up by who are, you know, this and who that or whatever, who our boss is or what they're doing or what they're not doing. Are they your God? Because every time you're moved by something that's not God, it becomes your God. Every time. So if you're moved by your spouse because of what they did or what they didn't do, listen, brothers and sisters, I am preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to myself. I'm included in it. I'm not exempt from this. Amen. This is eye-opening to me as well. We have to have a heart. Now, God knows we're not going to be perfect, but we have to have a heart that is after him. We have to have a heart that says, you know what? I want the church of God to flourish. I want, when I mean the church, I'm not saying the church building or the pastor. I'm talking about the church of God, the worldwide church of God. We have to have a heart. Like, listen, if somebody opens a church next door, there because the car wash would be a weird place for a church. But it's someone who bought Howard Hanna next door, and they opened a church in it and started preaching the word of God, and they got more people than we couldn't be mad about that. We would have, because if they're doing the work of the Lord, we'd have to be excited about it. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that it's good to do things. You know, some people do things wrong. But, you know, we have to understand, we have to have the right attitude, the right heart about all things. And in that, sometimes things will be wrong. Sometimes your brother or sister won't do what you want them to do. Sometimes they'll do the opposite of what you want them to do. But your heart has to be for the furtherance of the gospel. Your heart has to be for the kingdom of God. We have to be God-minded. We have to be transformed in our thinking. We can't think the way we always thought. Why do you have Christians that are Christians and sometimes generational Christians? They were raised in this church, and then their kids were raised in this church, and then their kids raised kids in that church, and they had this religion in their life. All their lives, they knew nothing other than religion. How do we have people like that still fail? Because they've never been taught to transform their hearts. They've only been taught to conform to whatever religious duty or whatever thing that they've done. They've never had a transformation. They've never had a moment with God where they really, really said it's all about Him. And they gave it all up, and that's why you don't see change. God will change everything in your life for the better if you allow Him to change it. But if you hold on to who you are, who you were raised to be, or who everybody else thinks you should be, you won't have what God has for you. You can never walk into it. Praise the Lord. James 1:25 says that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one, will be blessed in what he does. Let me say it again, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. I'm going to say something that I've heard some of you say to me, and I'm going to say that the same thing I've heard you say to me, I have said to my pastors. So I'm not just picking on you, I'm picking on me too. But I've gone to God, or gone to my pastor, I've gone to God with this too, I've gone to my pastor and said, but I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and there's no change. Right here is the answer to that. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not, there's no stopping. See, the reason is because you haven't got to the end yet. Listen, if you've got a problem, if you've got an issue in your life today, is today the end? No. You're probably going to wake up tomorrow, aren't you? Listen, if you got a bill you can't pay right now, you're probably going to wake up tomorrow with a bill that you can't pay tomorrow either. But you continued on, didn't you? See, if you continue on in faith, there's a changing that absolutely will occur. Just because it doesn't happen in your timing means nothing. And it means nothing to God. You know, God looks at us and He has pity on us when it comes to the things that we can't change. But He does not look at us and have pity on us when we don't have anything. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God says, I've given you everything. What don't you have? And the fact that you can't see it is a spit in my face. That's exactly what it is. Christian, if you have been given, if you're a Christian, if you've been given Jesus, you've been given everything. That's the door to everything. If you're not walking it, that's not God's fault. He doesn't have pity on you for it. Now, God does have pity when people are dumb and just, you know, they just don't get it. He has pity on that. He has pity if they've been taught wrong. God has pity, and he gives grace. He doles out grace in those areas. But I'm telling you right now, man, if you've been a Christian, if you've been in this word, if you have opportunity to be in this word, if you had opportunity to be in church and you don't, God isn't looking down on you and having pity for your life. No, because He knows. He's just like, I've given you the answers. If you want to reject the answers, not my fault. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes that's one of the hardest things of being a pastor, is to look in the lives of people, know that you've taught the word. You know what one of the hardest things is? Is to sit here and teach the word and then have somebody who wasn't here come up to me like within a week or two afterwards and say, I'm having this issue in my life. And I'm like, if you had been in church, you would have heard. You would have had your answer. You'd be wasting my time now. Because that's exactly what it is. It's wasting my time. Oh, you don't think I got things I want to do? Praise the Lord. But I do. If your answer is in the church, if your answer is before, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Now, I always, my heart is open to help anybody. Yeah, sure. Amen. But it can be frustrating. And I'm sure it's frustrating to God at times. Amen. If God can be frustrated, which he can. I mean, the Bible tells us that. But Jeremiah 7. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is a year. You know what? A year of transformation. You know what that tells me? It tells me that we have a choice in what happens. It tells me we have options going forward. I like that. We got options going forward into this year. Amen? We got options of how we're going to live this year. You know, listen to that. 2020 took us by surprise, right? Is anybody was surprised by 2020? At least by March, you were probably pretty surprised. But guess what? I mean, he threw everything out at us. We're still standing. And we ain't Elton John either. But we are standing. We are still standing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're still here. Listen, he threw a lot of things at us. There's a lot of things that wanted to wreck us or ruin us. You know, as I look around and I see the mask thing, none of us want the mask thing to last. We all wonder if it will. But is there anybody who's, I mean, most of us are just pretty accustomed to doing it now. Less and less people are really arguing about it anymore. People are just doing it, you know. What is that? That's adaptation. And I'm not saying it's something that's good or bad, but it's what humans do. We adapt. And we've adapted to a year of pandemic, a year of all these kinds of crazy things. I mean, if you really sit down and think about what's happened this year, it's been nuts. It's been crazy. We were watching a movie and we're like looking at the movie and they're like, there's people without masks on. I mean, when was that? Was that like 20 years ago? I mean, who are these people? Who do they think they are? Where are they living? I want to move there. Amen. But it's like we've adapted, you know, we adapt to things. And so and sometimes we adapt fighting, and there's nothing completely wrong with that. After all, we are Americans, and we should. But you understand that there's, you know, there's adaptation, there's things, but we are still here. And it's been a wake-up call, because this is what I want to say. It's gone through the area. It's been bad. It's been worse. We've been on lockdown. We've been shut down. Some of you may have even gotten it, but we're still here. We're still going. There's still promises that have to be walked out. And I think the thing that we can look at and something that the world needs is they need to see the true faith of the church looking at it and saying, it may look bad, but it's good. If you follow God, there's always hope on the other side. See, that's what the world needs. They don't need to see the churches running and hiding. Like, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look to our God. We're going to do our best to be palatable to all people. Because listen, if somebody won't even let you approach them because you won't wear a mask, how are you going to preach the gospel to them? If it takes a mask, if it takes you wearing a mask. But see, that's why you got to be changeable in your heart too. And I am not advocating wearing masks. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes there's things that we have to do that we don't want to do, but we do them. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Jeremiah 7:23. Jeremiah 7:23, there it is. Read through 29. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. And what? I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Now remember, in Hebrews, I read in the letter, in Hebrews it says that he makes a new covenant. And we know according to the word that that covenant is a better covenant based on better promises. So if this is what he said to them, this at least applies to us. And I look at this and I see much hope. But then to know that I have it better than this, That makes it that much nicer. But at least have the hope that this is at least where you're at. Amen. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that what it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts. And went backward and not forward. What's an evil heart? An evil heart is one that departs from God. Actually, in the New Testament, it says an evil heart departing from the living God. Amen? And so an evil heart is one that departs from who he is. And so an evil heart doesn't have to just be Hitler. An evil heart can be you when you're stubborn. That's an evil heart. Get circumcised, man. Praise the Lord. That goes down to notable quotes from the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they followed the counsels of the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. So he said, I sent my ministers. I sent my ministers. This is what he's still doing. I mean, if you're sitting here today, this church did not exist 10 years ago. God sent this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He sent this church. And if you're sitting here today, you are fruit of what God is doing. Amen. Glory to God. That's exciting to me too. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. So I say this, and it's sobering, but at the same time, we have a choice in this. We can be the generation of his wrath, or we can be those who obey. And it'll be well with us. And when the Bible says it'll be well with us, it means that things will be good. It doesn't mean everything will always be perfect, but it'll always work out for our good. So even if it's perfect now, what do we hold? Even if it's not perfect now, even if it's the worst it's ever been right now, it's the worst. Praise the Lord. What do we do when it's the worst? We know that he makes it better. The 2020 was bad, but guess what? We're about to enter 2021. See you, 2020. You were bad, but we got a new start. Yeah, don't think the years were man's invention. They were God's invention. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know, praise God, hallelujah. God has great blessing for his church. He has great blessing for his people. Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to be transformed? The choice is always up to us. And listen, as we go forward into this year, it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to like, well, I'm just nothing. Because I've been there before. I've been in places, how many times? You can ask my wife how many times I've been to a place where I just want to quit because nothing I do is good. But you know what the Lord directs me to? Just work on something. Just get something right. I mean, we can't always stay in just something. But you know what? If you're tired, if you're wore down, if you've been having just serious attack, just work on something. Just make something right, you know? Maybe you go to church. Maybe you could just you just put on an extra smile or something like that. Maybe you could just bless somebody. Just start thinking that way. Thinking of being transformed into the way God's thinking. And really, God's thinking is spelled out right here. I want my mind to think like this. When I look at people, I want to look at them through these kind of goggles. You understand? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was looking at you all through my goggles, the Jeff goggles, I'd have some choice words for you. I'm just telling you the truth because that's the way I was. I did my own thing, and I didn't want to be bothered by anyone else's. Amen? I didn't want to be bothered by your stuff or anyone else's stuff. I hated drama, and one thing that people do is bring drama. Not just you, but all people. Because all people, I bring drama. I'm like the drama king. I'm not going to say queen. Amen. My pastor's a queen. Probably fill the church then. Glory to God. Until they heard me preach, and then they'd be, praise the Lord. But I get it. But I have enough to deal with my own drama. I don't need to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying. We're just people, right? Praise the Lord. But I look at the church too. And don't listen, when I say things like this, Like, I hope you don't think that I, like, regret pastoring or anything like that. This is my heart. Like, I love this. I mean, I'm excited to be here with you and to think about you and to think about what God's doing in your lives and stuff like that. I mean, we've had some testimonies. Oh, can I share a couple real quick? Praise the Lord. At least one. Can I share your testimony? This is a good testimony. Three weeks ago now? 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, Lori didn't listen to church. And I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. 3 weeks ago, Lori was at home after church on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what they're all doing. I got a call later on from Scott. She had put her hand on the stove, right? And it was a lit stove. It was like, would you have electric top or something? Yeah. She had somehow put her hand on it and burnt the entire palm of your hand, right? Really, really bad. It was bad. And, she's a doctor, so she knows what bad is when it comes to stuff like that, you know. I always love doctors because you're talking to me, I got this thing on me, and you think it's the worst thing in the world, and they look at it, yeah, well, it's nothing. You know, they've seen it 1,000 times or whatever. But she knew it was bad. And she was in intense pain. And, we got down there and we prayed over her and we used all our faith. That's just kidding. It wasn't us at all. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the Lashbucks are people that, they do their best to live in the faith and to live according to the word and have been hungry for the Lord and stuff like that. And you were back to work. You skipped one day of work after that. So Monday she didn't go to work. Tuesday she was back at work. And when was it usable again? The pain was gone. Monday afternoon it was, not in one day. And the blisters were gone. Her hand is healed and she couldn't believe it. Serious burn. I mean, I don't know how. The doctors at work couldn't believe it. So not only is she a quacky doctor that couldn't believe it, but they had other quacky doctors that couldn't believe it. And I say that all completely joking. Lori is a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. And but I say it like that because so often people look at us and think we're nuts. They think people of faith are nuts. But see, this is just the word working in her. This is just embracing her embracing of the word. And it wasn't even that hands had to be laid on her because we didn't lay hands on her. I mean, we agreed with them in prayer or whatever, but we didn't, you know, it wasn't like, and they didn't call us all freaking out. Actually, when Scott called me, you know, he didn't seem afraid at all. I mean, it was just like, just wanted to let us know, which we appreciated, but I just love that, you know, I just love, and we have other testimonies, more testimonies I want to share. You know, some I haven't even gotten permission to. Some I've been following just because we know them. But like Carrie and Joel Davison back there, you know, they've had some awesome things happen in their home and stuff like that, where God has brought them. And and of course there's others as well. But my point is saying this is we need to like share these things. You know, like when you have testimonies, share them with other people. And if you share them with me, I'll probably end up saying something about it from the pulpit because I'm just trying to stir you. It's not what we do, but it's the fact that people connect to the word of God and the word bears fruit. Amen. And the reason I ain't going to more of Carrie and Joel's is because I didn't have permission to say anything, and they might not even want you to know anything. I don't know, and I don't know all the details, but I just know that there was a lot of things there, amen, with their home and stuff. And so there are people that could encourage you as well. And so I just think that, you know, we need to encourage each other as we go forward, but we need to transform our – God still is in the miracle doing business. Yeah. Amen. And he wants to do it here. There's mighty miracles going to be birthed out of the connection to God in this place. Amen. Because that's why God plants local churches. Amen. And so let's go forward as we go into 2021. How can we even be there? But let's go into 2021, rejoicing, excited for what God's going to do. And if nothing else, be excited that we got through 2020. Amen.